Good morning, everybody. Praise God. You know, we're having a baptism today. Praise the Lord. That's pretty exciting. That's really exciting, actually. You know, I was going over a lot. I was thinking about a lot this morning. Don't know if any of it stuck, but praise the Lord. You know, there's one thing that, you know, we meet up a lot. We have Bible studies a lot. And it's good for us. And, you know, I was been reading the Old Testament. You know, I'm going back over reading in the Old Testament. And there was set a lot of times that, you know, where the Lord said, well, this will be a memorial unto the Lord. And this will be a memorial unto the Lord. You shall do this for a memorial of the Lord. You know, ones were taken over when it was taken over, you know, when delivered out of the hands of Egypt. I mean, you have it where they crossed the River Jordan. You have it where they took the promised land. You know why? Because we need to be reminded how good the Lord is. Constantly. You know, this carnal state wants to forget and doubt the Lord in His ways all the time. It's a battle. I mean, we see miracles one day, the next day it's just like we run into some trouble and we go, oh God, we're doomed. You know what I mean? Is that not us? That's us. Having forgot the testimony of the Lord in each of our own lives. And go, yeah, I mean, you have Elijah called down fire from heaven, and then afterwards he ran and hid. Oh God, I'm no different. I'm no different. Even Elijah, with all his boldness and gall, to read the scripture. It wasn't even the Lord visited him. He read the scripture and said, children of Israel are doing this. God said, if children are doing this, it won't rain. Hey, it's not going to rain. Imagine going to that. Going to the king. You're nobody. I mean, you're nobody. You're just reading the word. You believe the word and you go to the king. Hey, you guys are falling after idols. It's not going to rain. You turned away from the Lord. It's not going to rain. And it didn't rain. Same guy called fire from heaven and consumed that sacrifice, and he turned around and, I'm no different. Ran from that woman Jezebel, which, you know, definitely be in the same boat. But look, praise God. I was thinking about this morning, but concerning baptism, you know, we're not called to walk after that carnal way. I mean, we're called to take that what the Lord has given us and run with it, man, and believe God and trust His provision, and remember how awesome He is, and to glorify Him in all things, no matter how big or terrible the situation may be. The Lord's bigger than that. The Lord's bigger than that. And all of us, at some point, we're staring in the face of a situation that seemed, oh my gosh, not a way out. You take Brad and Lisa in that situation, that actually was a good thing, was a terrible thing to happen, but it ended up being a good thing that glorified the Lord. And the reason why they're here right now. But you take Jeff and Kel, I'm using some of you guys as examples here, so I hope you guys don't mind. And I don't think you do, because it glorifies the Lord. Amen? You know, you take Jeff and Casey. Jeff had no work, man. I mean, he was getting like 5 to 10 hours. About to be evicted from his home. I mean, he'd talk about turning to the Lord in the nick of time. Boy, that was the nick of time for him. And they were about homeless. The Lord provided for him. Had grace on him. You know, take me. Absolute mess. Got married, had no place to live. Wife was still staying in her mom's house. Had responsibility. She's pregnant. When I first came back, before I knew it, I didn't have a job. Lord provided that right off the rip. We repented, and the Lord was good. Gave me a brand new home. Brand new. couldn't believe it. I'm out looking for a place to rent. Man, the Lord gives me a brand new home. Above that, I can ask or think, man. It's awesome. And you know, yet, I still...
chose a loser with no job.
Well, yeah, my wife chose a loser with no job. And there is something wrong with her, or else I would not be married to her. She would have said, heck no, get away from me, loser. But praise God, I'm glad she was dumb on that. Still is, but praise God. She has these like blinders on. She likes me. I don't get it, but praise God. But you know, I still have the Lord working His testimony and how good and how awesome He is every day in my life. Now that was a big situation, but let's take the small situation. Yesterday, you know, I called off for Saturday to get Rick's pool down, something we had to do. I had a lot of stuff in front of my plate, but man, everybody up in, yeah, Jeff and Clint and Brad and everybody was helping me get that thing down. We got it down in a timely fashion, a couple hours down, hoo-ha, down. Went and mowed the grass and, you know, I had some chores I had to get done. I mean, they were set before me. I took this day off to do those, or yesterday off to do those things. And, you know, I want to spend some time with the family, and I'm going, man, I really want to spend time with the kids, but I need to get some stuff done. And Lord, provide some time with them for me. And here I'm yet, I'm burning here in the pile. I need to get this pile. It's been huge from feeding that fire. Here comes my two little girls. Here comes the wife. We end up getting seats, and we're sitting by the fire. Got the glow sticks, got some sparklers we had left over. You know, we just had a good time. I had fellowship with the girls right then and there. That's the Lord's provision, man. I mean, that's just that little bit. That's just how good He is. It's an awesome God.
I thought all the time she was down there just at rest me. She was down there to see you.
Shoot. I don't know if she was down there to see me, but look, praise God, I'm glad they were. Sure did tickle me. But look, you know, the Lord is good. The Lord is awesome. The Lord is gracious. You know, and everything we do, it's to be living for Him. You know, we're talking about baptism. You know, I was talking with Adesha a couple weeks ago. You know, and we have that scripture of Luke, and laying, unless you be my, you cannot be my disciple unless you lay everything down. I'm paraphrasing that, but laying this whole life down. You know, a lot of people want to hang on to that life, man. They're like, man, I'm going to lose so much. No, you're going to gain everything. You know, the life that I have now in Christ Jesus is superseedingly better than the life I had out there in that world, man. So far better. We lose our life to gain His and to be in eternity with Him. That's awesome. That's a praise the Lord. And you know, Adesha at a young age making that choice to lose all that, man, I just see the gain that she's going to get. The gain of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. There's nothing better. Nothing better, man. And it's awesome. It's awesome to see. I want to go to... I've been all kinds of places this morning, but I think I want to go to Romans a little bit. Might go somewhere else. I don't know. There's so much to trust You, Lord. What's that, Paulie? Paul is so helpful, I just tell you. Praise God. I want to go to Jerusalem, they'll listen to me. We're in Romans 6. Let's go here. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we live? How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. That we should not serve sin. That's the power of the Lord. He took it all. He became sin for us, and he took it all, was buried, and was resurrected in power that we may live in him and for eternity. And that's what that baptism is about. Is dying to your old ways, dying to your own will, to live unto his. Be resurrected in the new man like as he was. The perfect example. And we do that by faith in what Jesus did. And you know, all that stuff we hold dear in our old lives, man, is nothing but dung when we step out of it. A lot of times we can't see it at the time. You know, but when we let that go and trust in him and take on that new life and take on that obedience to do his will, not our own, we see how far better it is. We see how far better it is. Because that's what it's about. It's letting go of your own will to do his. Actually putting it off. Now you have free will to make that choice. You know, and that's why it says we should not. It doesn't say we shall not. It means we should not. It means we shouldn't do this. It doesn't mean we're not gonna. But that's what we have every day for, man. It's like we want to raise up in that newness of life that Jesus has. To glorify him, which is so far better, man, than our old ways. I'm going to continue on here a little bit. For I wouldn't... No, man. Page just flipped over. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, the freedom, you know, we were talking about freedom last week, the freedom in that. The freedom in that. That means all that stuff of this world, all that stuff of this life, even death itself, will not have dominion over you. I mean, that's how we should live. I mean, it's appointed once a man to die. I mean, we're all going to die. We're all under the curse. This flesh is going to curse. But we don't have to die with it. We can live with Christ in eternity. I mean, even the pangs of death won't have a power over us, man. That is awesome. The freedom that we have. We just went through last week, but seek ye first the kingdom. Was that last week? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things be added unto you. Don't worry about the rest of that stuff, man. The Lord's going to take care of you. Just as I knew that I had some things that was put in front of my face, man. Although I really want to spend time with my family, look, this stuff needs to get done. The Lord's going to take care of that. And what did the Lord do? Brought my family out there with me. We had a greater time than sitting our butt in front of TV and not fellowshipping at all. Because we're too busy watching the TV. You know, I'm not saying TV's bad. I mean, don't get me wrong here. But I mean, we talked to each other. We spent time with each other. We had fun with each other. I mean, just that simple little thing. And that was a choice of me letting go to do what really I wanted to do, to go do some things that I knew needed to be done. And the Lord provided above asking anything I think or ask, man. It was awesome. It was awesome. Flip my page again. I'm going to continue on. We're on 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as though that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Look, you're not under the law, man. You're freed from that grace of God that He's given you to do what He has for you. Let's see here. Keep turning the page. You know, that sin that reigns in us is kind of what I was describing this morning. We go about, it's unbelief. We go about and we see what the Lord's done for us one day, you know. We see the mighty deliverance of the Lord. And then we walk into a situation and go, ah, I'm doomed. I'm doomed. Forgetting the testimony of the Lord. And a quickness and a heartbeat. Just like that. Eyes are off Him on the situation. How you doing, Phil? All right, considering the circumstances. What are you doing underneath the circumstances, buddy? Doesn't sound like you're doing it too hot. No. Why? Because I'm under the circumstances. You're not supposed to live there, Bo. Supposed to be above that. Because what does it say? Well, Christ sits on the right hand of God. And if we be in Christ, where do we sit? With Him. Above all principality, powers, and all the things that the enemy throws at us. Over all those things. Yeah, we're conquerors in Christ Jesus. And it's to His glory. We don't have to know how it turns out. A lot of times we look at these situations, we have no idea how they're going to turn out. But one thing we can hang on to in the comfort is that to trust the Lord and to seek His face on what His will would be for you in the midst of those situations to overcome. See, one scripture talks about, you know, one has laid, Apollos might have watered, or, you know, Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God giveth the increase. You know, we see the work of the Lord. We don't need to see, let me rephrase this, we don't need to see the work of the Lord as something we do. It's not nothing we do, it's about all what He has done. And what we simply do is we make Him our Lord and Savior. And that Lord part is submitting unto Him and His will. And see, the Lord delivers us from these things. The Lord, what? God giveth the increase. The Lord gives us the increase in whatever we need in that situation. But if we're resisting Him and resisting going to Him and not seeking His face, and we're yielding ourselves unto that carnal mind, we won't get what we need, because our mind and trust isn't on Him, it's on ourselves. See, that's all that is. You know, we can go to Hebrews 13, where it talks about, and I'm just going to go there for a second here. I'm going to go to 13. And you guys don't have to go there and turn there. But I want to go to verse 20. It says, "Now the God of peace that brought you again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." See, we submit ourselves unto God, and God does that work that is well-pleasing to Him. We have faith in Him and what He's done. See, God is pleased with Jesus Christ. He's not pleased with our own righteousness or what we do. He's pleased with what Jesus has done. And in our faith is in Him, that which is pleasing to God, He will work in us if we but submit unto Him. That's making God our Lord. Jesus our Lord. You know, I was talking about, we're talking about not yielding our members unto death and to sin. You know, and it talks about in scriptures that we lose our life. You know, any man come to me, let him take up his cross and follow me. I mean, in the way that's put, it's like I'm losing something to take on upon everything that Jesus has. And yes, we're losing everything in this world, which is not good. And we're gaining a life that is far better. We're seeking a kingdom that is far better. We're seeking a love that is far better. That's what it's about. That love and that life that Jesus gave you and is poured out unto you, and that testimony has, so that what? You can glorify Him in that. And you can let others know how good and awesome He is. And that they may enter into that same rest that you have taken of. And that deliverance that you took of. And that eternal life that you take of. But yet if we're yielding unto our members unto unrighteousness and uncleanness and all these things that are not of God, we won't even see the opportunity to share that. Or to remember that. Or to live that. You know, it comes down to a choice. It comes down to a choice. I mean, the Lord is good. I mean, just yesterday I had a small testimony of how good the Lord is. Well, I say small, it's huge for me. My time, man, I'm 60, 70 hours at work a week. I don't have that much time, and I want to be a part of my daughter's life, and the Lord has provided that. Regardless of the time, because what? He's above the time. He's above all that. And we can operate in that. In fact, we're called to be that. We're called to be His body. We're called to go out there and glorify Him. We're called to walk as Jesus has walked. We're called to do that. And if you don't operate in that and do what you're called to do, man, you're going to hell because you're just yielding yourselves unto unrighteousness, into the world, into the ways of it. He's given you everything you need. He's given you life by His obedience to death and taking all that sin upon Himself. He's given you that way. I'm going to go back to Romans here. "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." Man, all those things that is accounted against me in the book, all those things that I have trespassed in the Lord in my past life, has no dominion over me no more. Because of what? Because of Jesus Christ taking it on the cross. And I'm not accountable to those things anymore. The Lord pardoned it. He paid that debt. He took it all away. Praise God. And I don't, when the enemy comes throwing those fiery darts at me, well, Phil, you were like this, or Phil, you were like that, or Phil, you were like that. I can say, you know what? Yeah, you're right. I did all those things. But Jesus Christ and His blood is bigger than all those things, and He washed them all away. Satan, get from behind me. Get away. Because this day I choose the Lord, and I'm going to serve Him. And that's what we need to be about doing every single day. And it's awesome, guys. It's not a treacherous thing. Do we suffer? Yeah. We suffer loss of things that aren't good for us. Praise God. I mean, things in ourselves. Attitudes. Murders. Unbelief. These are the things that He works out of us. We submit unto God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You want to partake of that nature of Jesus Christ? You can. It's by choosing and submitting unto Him. But see, look guys, how much do we hold back from doing that? I mean, really? Lord, I'll do this thing, but that thing's a little bit too great for me. Not right now. I'm not ready for that. Or Lord, I'll go this far with it, but man, you know, every day you want me to give my life to you, man. I mean, can I have a couple days out the week, you know? Lord, you want me to do that, but man, that's just going to cause me to work so much. Have any of these thoughts crossed you guys' mind, or am I the only unrighteous one here? I mean, I don't know. Man. No, praise God. But what that means of giving up your life, man, that means a life and death choice. That means laying it down. Laying it all down. Not hold back a little. Do you want any of that grace held back from you? Not at all. So what do? Lay it all down. So that grace may cover all of it. All. Taking it away. And then guess what? You're freed from it. You're freed from it. And the Lord's good. I mean, I look at the time. The times that I've had in my life choosing the Lord has been far better than anything of my selfish ways. Far better, man. I mean, His life has been awesome. Laying that down and making that choice for the Lord has always, there's been always an awesome thing in return of it. Now I take a look at the chapel. We've got a huge place here. We got bodies filling this place up. There was last year I was working all my days off every day to get this floor down, And I'm looking at it now. I'm looking at the people in it and the people it's blessing. That is an awesome thing. And you know what? I didn't know what I was doing when I was doing it. That was a situation I thought way over my head. Dude, I'm not a carpenter. I know how to build a couple cabinets, man. But that's just because somebody told me A, B, and C. I have no idea what I'm doing. Lord, if you called me to do this, please provide a way because I have no idea. And look, 1 year later or more, the floor is laid and we're in a chapel. The air conditioner works. And I'm seeing these faces here. And that's awesome. The Lord's good. It's not about the building. It's just about how awesome the Lord is. I'm going to finish this. Oh, I'm taking over the heart. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, His servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Now that we have that grace and we have that forgiveness, man, it's not for us to just go about and do our own thing. It's to do His will. Obey and trust Him. Have your focus on Him. I mean, look, if you yield yourselves back to that sin, the servant of sin, that's who you're going to be, the servant of sin. But you, if you put off your will to do His in all things and cast everything down to serve Him, thou will be a servant unto obedience, unto righteousness. You know, this once saved, always saved, that doesn't work. It says, him to who, who shall endure to the end shall be saved. That's what he said. I mean, you look at Titus. Look, you can tell that Titus back in the scripture, he had a letter written from Paul, man, for a great, great responsibility. And he was in the faith for a period of time. But he became unfruitful and turned back to the world, man. Titus. It can so easily come about us. That's why it's a diligence and a fight to stay in the faith and to believe God. And we're not paying attention. We get knocked off that quickly. And if you do get knocked off, guess what? You have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, to get right back on that track and choose Him. But guys, you want to grow in grace? You want to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ? Because I want to know Him at the last day. Submit yourselves unto the Lord. Submit yourselves unto that line authority has given you. Submit yourselves unto His way. Whatever the cost. And He will give you the increase. He will grow and give you the knowledge of Him. He won't spare back. If He sees His child doing everything He can to laying everything down and putting their trust in Him, is He not going to reward that? Of course He is. We're evil parents when we see somebody trying to see our kids, trying to please them. We praise them. And we're sinful. We're unrighteous. We don't have the grasp of God's love like we ought. I mean, Jesus was obedient unto death. He did nothing wrong. And yet we stood back and said, crucify Him, crucify Him, crucify Him. Said, forgive Him, Lord. Forgive Him, Father. He did it for what? The joy that was set before Him. So that the people would hear that gospel and take on the Lord and get forgiveness, so people can have forgiveness and know Him. Look, I mean, before the curse, He had all these people that were created before the curse, and they were meant to serve the Lord. They were there for His good pleasure. There was no sin. That's where we ought to dwell. And we have that by the grace of the Lord, by Jesus Christ's death. We have that opportunity to live for Him once again. And He wanted to give life to everybody. Or give them the opportunity to choose that. I am so glad, man. You know, He had Adam, who was the accountable for all mankind. When he ate of that, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the curse came. Everybody was cut off from the spirit. And then death came. For the wages of sin is death. And everybody's died. This thing's going to die. But praise God, if any one of us were in there, we would have ate of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. And if it was up to our good to be obedient, completely obedient to the Lord's will without sin and then die on the cross, man, we wouldn't do it. Couldn't do it. So by one man's disobedience, sin came into the world. By one man's obedience, sin came is taken out of the world. And we can live in that. That is an awesome God. And the choice is ever before us. And as you can see here, man, we're going to be servants of either unto sin, unto unrighteousness, unto death, or are we going to be the servants unto righteousness, to the obedience of the faith of Jesus Christ. And we have that choice. And it's our choice to make. And that's a beautiful choice. Because before we knew Christ, we didn't have that choice. But He gave it to us once again. And that choice I'm seeing Gina and Adesia making, and all of us are to the point, but making that choice of being baptized in death, into death, and being resurrected in that new life, that's a praise the Lord. And I was telling Adesia, that means giving up everything you have in the old life and cleaving on to a new life. But I let her know about a little secret. And I'm going to let you know about that secret. The gain of that is far better. All that she is losing in that old life is nothing but dung. That wants to drag you to hell. Drag your soul to hell. But that which Jesus in that new life wants to give you is life eternal with Him, with love and peace and joy. Which is far better. Which is far better. We actually, when we lay everything down to do His will, we think we're losing something. No, we're gaining. We're gaining Him. And that's an important choice. And that is around the clock. That is every day. That is 7 days a week. And you know, sometimes, guys, I get tired. Sometimes I just don't want to fight. Sometimes I just want to give up. Sometimes I do give up in my heart. I grow faint. I get caught up in the waves of unbelief and listen to this carnal man, which I ought not. But you know, the Lord is faithful and righteous, and He's graceful. As He's seen me walk this out, as I stumble and fall, He's there to pick me back up once I turn to Him again. I'm not so faithful. He is. And if we, a lot of times we say, you just don't understand, Lord. Look, He understands it more than any of us in here. God created heaven and earth, came down as a man, and was obedient unto death when He did nothing wrong. And was always about His Father's business and to glorify the Father. That's what He was about, and that's what we're called to be about. And you know why? Because of that, He's a high priest, that we can cast all our care upon Him. All of it. And say, Lord, I can't function with all this crap. Here, take it. So I can do Your will, man. All this stuff is bogging me down. It's keeping me from You, and I don't want it. What do you think He's going to do with that? He's not going to throw it back in your face and say, deal with it. No. No. He's going to say, put your eyes on Me and follow Me. And you'll come right through that. And you know what? Those situations, those tribulations, and those things that come, they're good for you. You know why? Because then it starts to say, well, I can't do this. Good. Jesus can. So where do you put your faith? In Jesus. And then what? You become like a child. As Raylan was born, she needed us to feed her. She needed us to change her diaper. She needed us to do all these things. I mean, she trusted us that the light switch is going to be on. I mean, she had to trust us for everything. She was beyond her understanding. Now, I'm not saying be a child and cry, you know. But what I'm saying is that you trust the Lord with everything and through all those situations and all those trials. So when you come to that place at the end, you will know who He is. Because you have put your faith and trust and love and devotion to Him and relied on Him, not yourself. What's that? Oh, Raylan doesn't have a clue how big of a dirtbag I am. Praise God. But you know who isn't a dirtbag? Jesus Christ. And it also talks about Scripture. He is able to succor them, though those are tempted. Where is that Scripture at? Please, somebody help me. I think that's what in James. He's able to secure us that are also tempted, to aid us when we are tempted. It's in here somewhere. I know it is. Well, look, praise God. You guys don't have to find it. But he understands more than anybody. He is made a high priest. Hebrews 4:15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our afflictions, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. That's not the part I was talking about. Look, but that is a good part, and it brings the same point up. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Man, did nothing wrong, died for us, took the sin of the whole world. He knows. He understands. And he's there. It's just, what do we want to do? And what we do will show that. We can confess one from up and down one way or another who we are about and what we're about. But truly, it's going to be about who we choose and serve every day. And that will shine. That will shine. That will be ministering. You choose yourself, it's going to be ministering death. You choose Jesus Christ, it's going to be ministering life. And yielding yourself unto the obedience of Him will be that light that people see. That will be the light that people see. And we have a choice. So let's choose this day.
Well, praise God. I only have 3 or 4 minutes. That's all right. It's a good thing. The only thing that I can add to that is before BC, before Jesus, I was watching a television package the other night, local news. This 12-year-old catches 8-foot shark, or some such presentation as that, you know. Coming up next, go to commercial, come up to the package. About 2 minutes into this package, you find out that the kid didn't catch the shark. 3-minute package I'm going after. 3 minutes, y'all ran this for news. Why? We got no shark. What was the point in the story? You could do 40,000 people yesterday miss catching an 8-foot shark. What a great shark that was. What we do here on Sunday has no point if we're not ministering to you first the knowledge and then the way that is Jesus. And the truth of the matter is, you have to be reminded. You know, it's a special thing when the body's together. The anointings here, the body of Christ together is a unity in faith and spirit, and it's a great thing. Our job is to minister to you the freedom from the bondage and enslavement to sin. You didn't have a choice. You were in bondage to sin. Jesus came along and by faith set you free from that bondage. So the rest of the time you're here, you're having to learn how to make the choices, how to be a yielding person, so that when grace is removed and you're in heaven, you can stay there. Because the first time you cop an attitude, stinks to be you. We were reading in John last week about they obey his commandments and they're not grievous.
Yeah.
How do they not get to be grievous? First off, what is somebody deciding that this is grievous? I don't want to be doing this. They're judging the person that's instructing them right. Right? What flames up in you that tells you you have a right or it's even proper for you to be judging somebody else? Pride. How did that work out for Lucifer?
Not so good.
Why is it going to work out for you? The reason why we have to learn that yielding ourselves as instruments of grace and not and servants of the Lord and not instruments of sin unto death is because that yielding is done by choice for the end. And the end is to please and glorify the Father. If you cop an attitude and it becomes grievous to you to do that, you might can get away with that for a while. Here, you can't get away with that at all there. We're here learning how to do this because we want to. And this is an attitude and a spirit within you that you have to. It's an acquired thing. It works better when you're around other believers. Doesn't work at all if you're off by yourself and, you know, give heed to the flesh for 30 seconds. You're gone. You're gone. But when you're around other members of the body and you're strengthened in the faith and you're ministering grace and speaking to one another in spiritual psalms and praying for one another without ceasing, then the body's functional and you are agreeing to the Lord's terms because that's where your desire is. When your desire is right, then what does Scripture say? He says He'll give you the desires of your heart. Right? Your desires are broken. You keep coming to us that the Spirit of the Lord can search your hearts and minister and apply that to your hearts that needs to be applied to your hearts. You can get, you know, like an inner tube pumped up full of Jesus when you're here. And you go out through the week and that tube starts leaking out a little bit here and there. You have to come back and get it all pumped up again. As you minister, as you go through your day-to-day stuff out there in the world, you're gonna get deflated a little bit. You come here, we minister the grace and truth of the Word of God, and you're able to make the choices that serve and please Him and honor Him. And you do it not because it's grievous, not as judging Him or judging those over you in Him, but do it because you really want to please Him. That's the only way, that is the only thing that's going to keep you hidden in Him. And that's the only place that you can stand. So I just encourage you to get on your faces and get an attitude check and an attitude realignment. Because grievousness is an attitude. And you can't abide in it. Well, that's going to about do it for us.